Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Join me with my castmates, Veronica Esquivel-Winter, Dave Seidel, and Don Warner on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043 right here on Grindhard Radio. This show is all about spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being. We share stories from our lives and our personal journeys to divine health and wellness. We are not afraid to discuss difficult topics from a dynamic perspective and support you on your journey. No one is alone or forgotten. You are a child of light, and your destiny is great. Tune in to Season 2 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043, right here on Grind Hard Radio. Good evening, everyone. That was Dar McLean with Wanted. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 17 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, right here on Grind Hard Radio. Thank you to my phenomenal music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. You'll be hearing more of my work with them throughout this year and many years to come. This 16-episode, 90-minute-long show will focus on spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being and is the most transparent, vulnerable, and empowering project I have ever taken on. I'll be sharing testimonies and stories from my life, what I believe and why I believe this way, and sharing my personal journey to divine health and wellness. We'll be discussing topics like food, relationships, fitness, prayer, meditation, self-love, grace, faith, overcoming fear, anxiety, depression, panic, and so much more. We'll be speaking life into you and your dreams, encouraging your heart, and praying for your every need. I'll be featuring my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors throughout the season. Every episode will be available on iTunes. Search Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. I am so glad to be here with you this evening, morning, or afternoon, depending on where you are tuning in from around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional treasure finder. I find the gold and treasure that is already in every person, and I point it out. I do this however I feel led to in my heart, through my voice, music, creativity, resources, time, philanthropy, ideas, however I want to and feel led to. I'm a receiver and giver of grace. I am very thankful to be living and pursuing my dreams every single day while helping others to live and pursue theirs and being able to reach people all around the world. The title of tonight's Season 2, Episode 17 is God is Not Your Enemy. God is not your enemy. We are going to go all the way in. This is such a vital truth that is key to our health and overall well-being. In many religious sects and denominations, God is often portrayed as a two-faced being who makes people sick, poor, and destroys anyone who doesn't agree with him. This couldn't be further from the truth. We are going to share about the God we know. Dave Seidel brought a new Easy Love segment. Veronica Esquivel Winters and I brought a new Woman to Woman segment. I have a new Storytime segment. We have a new Who Said That? And Mythbusters segments. I'll be sharing more words of life, and we'll be taking another celebration break. At the end of every episode, I'll be taking your prayer requests and praying for any additional needs I feel on my heart for you. Throughout every episode this season, I'm going to be giving away at least 2 copies of my castmate Dave Seidel's new book, 18 Mile. He is one of my favorite authors and communicators, and I know this book about his life and journey to spiritual freedom will really encourage and empower you. I'll also be giving away a couple other surprise goodies throughout the show. Stay tuned in tonight and follow my Facebook and Twitter pages to see when and how you can win. I'll be giving away fun prizes and gifts all season long. I'm always booking new shows and performances. This past weekend, I was performing at the Out of the Darkness Suicide Prevention Walk in Santa Monica and also for the National Alliance on Mental Illness charity event in Thousand Oaks at Newberry Park High School, and those events were so amazing. I am so grateful to be able to share my story and to be able to help other people who are struggling or who are overcomers and to know that we're in this together. I performed for about 2,000 people this past weekend between the two events, and it just was an amazing time. I am so thankful. I got to give a lot of hugs and love and encouragement, and people We're very grateful and glad. I always have new shows and performances coming up, and I love traveling. And if you're looking to bring me, my Power of a Dream tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going back into the recording studio very soon. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. That's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. Or you can also look on my official YouTube channel at YouTube.com/SadeChampagne. That's YouTube.com/SadeChampagne. I'm live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Spirit and Soul or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who's already been tweeting me, you Facebook me, you Instagram me, you YouTube me, you email me. Your support amazes me, and I will forever cherish you.
If you've been following my social media at all, then you're already familiar with this next segment. It started as a video series, and now I'm incorporating it into this radio show, Woman to Woman. This was created to help encourage, empower, and inspire me, Veronica, and other women and young girls. I wanted my best friend, Veronica Esquivel Winters, who is a certified holistic life coach, clinical aromatherapist, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker, to lead this segment with me. Today, Veronica and I are talking about what to do when you feel triggered. To watch this video series, go to my official YouTube channel, Sade Champagne, and search Woman to Woman Diaries.
Hi, everyone. It's Sade Champagne.
I'm Veronica Esquivel Winters.
And this week on Woman to Woman segment, we are talking about myths about God. Myths about God. This is one of me and Veronica's favorite things to be able to discuss. And we found it very challenging to only be able to highlight three myths each that we have believed about God. But in order for the sake of the segment, we kept it at three. But throughout the season, you're going to hear, not only in our segment, but throughout the entire Spirit and Soul radio show, you'll be hearing tons of myths and having those myths be debunked. So I'm going to start first. One of the myths that I believed about God was that I had to give to God in order for God to give back to me. That's one of the biggest myths and lies that has been carried on since forever. People always believe that they have to do something in order for God to be able to love them, in order to be able to value them. I don't have enough to be able to give in me by myself to be able to make up what God can do for me. And the wonderful thing is I don't have to live a relationship with God like that. God talks about this. And when Jesus lived as a person on earth, he talked about this amazing truth that he was the greatest servant of all time. God has always been the one to serve us. Think about, you know, for those of you who are parents, even if your child is the most amazing child in the world, or even when your child is an adult, haven't you found that you are the one who is always given to your child? You are the one who provides life to your child so that they can live from that place. You do not have to give to God in order for God to give to you. God gives all things freely. God gives us the very best of himself. God gives us his very self and her very self. And I just want to encourage anyone who's been believing that, that you don't have to give to God in order for God to give to you, but that God just wants to supply to you because you are loved and because you are valued and cared for. Number two, I believe that God brought abuse and pain into my life in order to teach me lessons, make me a better person, and so I could help people. This like makes me nauseous when I think of it, because I grew up in religious environments, in churches that taught this very truth. And to this day, there are still many prominent figures in religious and spiritual communities who are not even in Christianity. They can be in any religion, and they teach this bullcrap. It is a lie. God cannot be both the author of life and the giver of good things, and also the author of death and the giver of bad things. That cancels each other out. Think about that. If I was in a friendship with someone, or say, we'll use Veronica as an example because you all know she's my best friend. And if I was always hurtful to Veronica, if I was always abusive and beating up on her and discouraging her, how would she be able to trust me? She could not. She would not find it in her heart to be able to trust me because I was the one who was abusive to her. It is impossible to trust someone who is abusive to you and who causes you pain intentionally. It is impossible. God is not the author of abuse and pain, and God has not been sitting aside watching you in your pain. When I was taught these things, especially because I had experienced a lot of trauma in my life and in my childhood and a lot of heartache, it really created a bitterness and a distrust in my heart towards God. I cannot trust God, and the only reason why I tried to make myself trust God was because I didn't want to go to this crazy place called hell, which is a whole nother topic that we will probably touch on throughout this season. But God is not the author of pain. God does not bring abuse and pain into your life in order to teach you things. That doesn't make sense. Yes, throughout life, we can learn from our pain. We can learn from abuse and learn from challenges, but they are not our greatest teachers. Our greatest teachers are the love and grace of God. Number three, I believe that I was undeserving and unworthy of God's love. Also another lie. We are deserving. We are worthy. Yes, if you go and compare and say, compare to all of our good things that we can do and all of our great attitudes and all of our attributes that we can do in this world, you're right. Nobody measures up because everyone will at one point or another in our lives have failed or not have given 100% or have not been able to come through. But guess what? God does not look at us and see us based upon our actions. God sees us based upon our value and our identity and our worth. Therefore, God says that you are deserving and you are worthy of God's love. That is such a huge truth to be able to receive because in the back of many people's minds, even people who have all types of theological degrees and all types of people who have been to spiritual awakenings and whatever you want to call it and reached the highest consciousness, in the depths of their being, people still feel unworthy and unloved and undeserving. That is not of God. God says that we are worthy of love and we are deserving of God's love. I'm going to pass it along to Veronica.
Hi, thank you, Sade. Wow, that was awesome. It was hard for me to keep quiet over here. But okay, so I'm going to share my three myths that I used to believe about God. The first one was if I go to church, if I read my Bible, if I read certain books, if I listen to certain music, if I am obedient to certain laws and rules, that he will bless me. And that was so exhausting, to say the least. It was so exhausting. Instead of me truly enjoying those things and wanting to do those things, it became, you know, more fear-based and me thinking that if I didn't do those things, then I wasn't going to be blessed. I wasn't going to be where I wanted to be or where I felt like I should be in my life. And all that is just not true. Like, how can you even enjoy life that way, thinking that way and having that mentality, you know? It's so sad, and I'm so thankful that God and, you know, some other close friends of mine helped me to debunk that big myth, you know, and so much freedom has come from that, you know. I get to enjoy the things that I choose to do, that I choose to listen to, that I choose to read, that I choose to go to, you know, and there's just so much more freedom in that. The second one is that he was so focused on how much I sinned every day. Oh my gosh, I was so, at first, you know, this is something I was taught. You know, I don't believe that I was born feeling this way about myself. You know, I was taught this at, you know, I want to say in my early teens to, you know, my early 20s, I was taught that this by certain things that I would listen to and certain churches I would attend. And, you know, that even at first when I heard about this, it didn't really settle in my spirit. And there was a reason why, because that wasn't true, you know. But I felt that, you know, well, this is what they're telling me. This is what they're showing me. And this is what everybody else around me that's in that same community of people saying as well. So this must be true. And it was almost like I convinced myself that it was true. And then I started you know, feeling that way in my head. I mean, there was such a battle all the time going on in my head. Is this a sin? Is this not a sin? Am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? And gosh, I was full of anxiety, full of fear, full of doubt of myself, you know, had very little self-confidence, you know, and it was just horrible. It was horrible. And I'm so thankful that now I know that God loves me and accepts me for who I am, that he's always there for me no matter what. And most people would say, oh, well, so does that mean that you know, that gives you a free ticket to do whatever you want? No, because when I began to understand that and learn and know my value of who I am, of course I'm not going to want to choose things that I know that are not good for me or good for others.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is that he was looking to fix me. That was another big thing. You know, I felt like God was always looking, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the whole quote unquote sin thing, you know, but I always felt like God wanted to fix me. How can God make me better? You know, and little did I know that I'm already made exactly the way he wanted to make me. I'm already made exactly in his image. There's nothing more or nothing less that I can do to make myself better. And all along, I thought that God wanted to fix me and God wanted to turn me into something that, you know, was more like him and more like in his image, when all along I've been that way since even before I was born and when I came into this world, you know, I am already complete. I'm already whole. I'm already everything that he's ever wanted me to be and more, you know, and now I get to live in that freedom knowing that I'm already perfect the way I am.
Yeah.
I'll just straight up say it. I'm already perfect just the way I am. And so are you guys. So are you guys. You guys are perfect just the way you are, you know. When you begin to learn your value, when you begin to know how, you know, see how he sees you, know your worth, that is when you begin to see yourself for who you truly are, and you're going to begin to make good decisions that are going to benefit you, that are going to be healthy for you, that are going to be good for you and everybody else around you.
That's good. Well, we will see you next time, or we will hear you, or you'll hear us. We'll be with you next time on our next Woman to Woman segment here on Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio.
Our next segment of the night is story time. This is where I share stories from my life. People can argue Bible verses and theology with you all day long, but no one can take away what God has done for you. I want to share with you about how God is not two-faced or against you. God is for you. You know, erroneous theology and doctrine made me afraid of God and distorted my view and image. It really heightened my fear, anxiety, and paranoia. When Jesus first revealed himself to me as a little girl, around age 4 is as early as I can remember, but it could have been sooner than that. The God I knew was full of so much love, grace, kindness, light, and life, and just made me feel such peace and happiness amidst all the challenges and craziness of my life. I really felt comforted and I really felt encouraged and courageous because of God. But through circumstances in my life, through erroneous theology and horrible doctrine, I began to have distorted views and images of God. I didn't understand a lot of the things I read in the Bible or wasn't interpreted correctly by ministers and by leaders and preachers. And so I really just was like, oh my goodness. And I found myself in a place where I was believing in a two-faced God. And when you think about it, it's impossible for our hearts to go to rest and trust in someone who's two-faced. You can't. You can only truly trust in someone and believe in them when they are full of integrity, when their character has been proven and tried, and then your heart will rest and believe in them. A lot of people will use the Bible verse in Romans 5:10, where it says that while we were enemies of God, God still reconciled us to himself through the death of his son. And there's more to the verse, but people focus in on the part where it says, while we were enemies of God. So how can you be an enemy of God when God is trying to save you and provide life for you? Like, think about it. Anyone in your life who you would have considered an enemy, are you trying to save them or do anything good for them? Are you trying to make a way for them out of their situation and to provide life for them and care for them? No.
if you live in grace like we do, we don't have any enemies. But you get what I'm saying. In normal or most case scenarios, people are not trying to do anything good for their enemies. So that means there's no way that God could have been our enemy. We were enemies in our own minds because of our guilty conscience, because of the condemnation and the criticism we were living in. We determined that God was our enemy. But from God's point of view and from God's perspective, God has never looked at us as his or her enemy. God has always looked at us as his family, as his love, as his life. One of my favorite verses, and we all know this verse, and people, they kind of gloss over it, but they don't really think about what it means. And it's in John 3:16 where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." For God so loved. Everything that God does is because of love and is from a place of love. And if it doesn't line up with love, then it's not of God. And what a lot of people tend to forget is God didn't only send his son. God sent his very self. God sent his own self in order to show the great love that he has for us. And oftentimes you might hear me, depending on when I'm speaking, I might say his or her, because we were created in the image of God. So therefore, God is bigger than gender. There's aspects of God that are masculine and there are aspects of God that are feminine. And so for other people's comfort, a lot of times I might say he, but depending on my prayer life and how I'm feeling, I sometimes say her. And God is bigger than gender. So I want us to begin to break down those walls or those limited perspectives that we have where we only see God in one way, when God is so vast and so huge, but wonderfully enough, is also perfectly able to fit inside our hearts and inside our very bodies. And then right after John 3:16, it says in John 3:17 that "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Or we can also say, God did not send himself into the world to condemn us, but to save us through him. Jesus came to save us, not to condemn us. God is not a God who criticizes. God is someone who is always cheering us on and lifting us up. Yes, when we are living lives that are beneath our potential and we're not walking in the fullness of who God has created us to be, or when we have challenges that come our way, it does feel bad. And sometimes we can feel bad when we're doing things that are wrong and we know it's wrong. But that's not God trying to make us feel bad. And God is not looking at us differently, no matter what is happening to us or what situation we find ourselves in. And one of my favorites is Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I'm going to read that again for the people in the back. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God's everlasting kindness, God's love and grace for us always goes back to that. God wants to prosper us. God never designs to harm us and has a beautiful future and hope for us, and to always give us hope. Whatever's happening in your life, whatever you've been facing, whatever evil you see in the world, if it does not line up with what I just shared in these verses and tons of other verses that we can find, and also in the very quality and characteristics of God, it's not of God. I don't understand every Bible verse, and I never claim to. I don't ever claim to be a preacher or a minister or evangelist or anything else, or even a spiritual leader, whatever you want to call it. I just said I am someone who has been touched and transformed by the love, life, grace, etc. of Jesus, Father God, and Holy Spirit. That's who I am. And that is, I am a daughter of God, I'm a follower of Jesus, and that's all I can claim to be. I don't know all the answers to everything. I don't know exactly why things are a certain way, but I know that God is love. And I know that I've been transformed and touched by this grace and this amazing love. And that God is way more happy, way more fun, way more encouraging, way more free-spirited than we ever give him, her credit for. And I feel like if I don't understand something, or if a scripture or something in my life has been misinterpreted, or I'm seeing it through distorted lenses, I always go back to who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the final say-so about who I am, who God is, and who everyone else in this world is. And how Jesus was so loving and encouraging and uplifting, and what Jesus always designed for us. And I know, once again, we can go into a whole bunch of Bible verses and people say, well, what about this and what about that? Listen in and take the simplicity of what I'm saying and ask God to show you where the truth is. Ask God to speak to your heart and show you this amazing life that I'm talking about. God is not your enemy. God is not against you. God is not two-faced. God only has one face, a face of love, a face of light that looks many different ways. When we see the evils in this world, when we see the challenges that we've been through and the things we've been through, it's not because of God. God cannot be both the healer and both the giver of good things and also the creator of evil. Doesn't make sense. People have free will. There is evil in this world, and not everyone is walking in their identity and who Jesus is and who God has created them to be. But one thing I know for sure is that who God is and who we really are will always shine brighter. I want to pray for every person who's been struggling with distorted images of God, who's been struggling with being able to trust God and being able to share your life with them. I thank you, Father God, that you are not limited by what we've been through, by what we say, by what we think, by what we feel, that there are no limits in you. And I thank you that every moment of every day, you are consistently peeling away the layers, healing our hearts, healing our minds, restoring our lives so that we can see you for who you really are. And in light, we also see ourselves as who we really are, and we see others as they really are. Thank you that you're bringing healing and transformation to our very subconscious, to the very core of our beings, that we are able to see what you see and hear what you hear. Thank you that you are pulling up deep-rooted lies that we've been believing for many, many years, some of us, all of our lives. And I thank you that instead you're replacing it with your truth, with your hope, with your courage, with your compassion, that we will always see. And thank you that the things we don't understand now, that we don't always know how to interpret, that we will see, we will have enough of experience with you, we will have enough of the truth in you that it will light, that it will highlight and light up, that it will illuminate all of our areas of misunderstanding. And I thank you that it pleases you to do this. I thank you that you're patient with us, that it makes you glad to show us the truth and be the truth for us. You never get tired of us or weary of us or think, why don't you get it yet? Why don't you understand this? But you are always patient and kind. Everlasting love and kindness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end this story time segment with one of my favorite songs. Here is Godfrey Bertil with God is Good. Really listen into the words and message of this song. Ask God to show you his goodness and everlasting compassion. Today is a new day. This is a new moment. God is amazing, and God is amazed by you. Keep listening to Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio.
Defriend you. It won't block you or defriend you. It won't block you or defriend you. It won't block you or defriend you.
Segment of the night is Easy Love with Gabe Seidel, joy and published author of his new book, 18 Miles, speaker, blogger of God Needs New PR, and Christian rap artist who graduated from Karis Bible College in 2016 as he shares the gospel truths, which has transformed his relationship with God from hard work to easy love. Hashtag Easy Love to ask him questions and join in the conversation.
Hey, everybody, what's up? This is Dave Seidel, and it's my second segment here on Sade's Spirit and Soul Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I've got some awesome stuff to share here from Romans 5 this week, so let's get right into it. I was actually just reading this chapter this morning, and the first verse that I'd like to share is Romans 5, 20 and 21 in the New King James Version. It says, "But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." All right. I mean, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, so I thought I'd just break it down a little bit, hopefully make it a little bit easier for you guys to understand. So as I was reading, I was just thinking about how God's grace is a trump card in our lives, okay? But unfortunately, most of us think our sin is the trump card. So, you know, if you imagine yourself playing cards with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, where I'm from, we play a game called Euchre. Some of you guys might play a game called Spades, but, you know, in that game, there's a trump suit, which means, excuse me, one suit, whether it's spades, hearts, diamonds, whatever it is better than the other. For example, if you put down an ace of hearts, but spades is trump, you know, and I put down a two of spades, the spade card wins because it's spades, okay? So in real life, though, you know, we think when we put down our sin card, That means game over. That means, you know, the sin card wins every time. But that's actually not the truth, okay? That's not what this scripture is talking about here. It's saying, you know, God is always there coming in with his grace card, and that grace card wins every time. So let's define some more of these terms here to help further our understanding. So first of all, as far as righteousness goes, this doesn't speak to, like, doing everything right. You know, as Greg Henry has taught over the years, one of the definitions is of righteousness is us being as we ought to be. You could also think of it as God putting us in right standing with him. All right, so this righteousness, through that, grace is reigning, okay? So in other words, you can think of, like, maybe there's a gap between where you think you ought to be and where you are, and grace is kind of putting you back into that right standing with God. If you think you're not, he's always coming and saying, no, you are, okay? So, you know, some people think of grace as just like a license to sin. The way I've heard it described, and, you know, one of the best definitions I think I've heard is, God's divine influence upon our hearts, persuading us to believe what he believes. All right, so the point here is that whatever happens in our lives, God is influencing us to believe what he believes about us, okay? Question is, what does he believe about us? Well, what he believes about Jesus, okay? What he showed us in Jesus, that despite your sin, his view and opinion of you is the resurrected Jesus, okay? His thoughts and beliefs about you are that he's well pleased with you, okay? Now, I understand this might be hard for many to believe, but that's why they call it the gospel. It's so good, it's nearly too good to be true. So, this is where receiving from God comes into play, okay? So that's kind of a second part that I wanted to talk about here, which are also scriptures that kind of go along with what's talked about in Romans 5. You know, you can't give what you don't first receive, right? So that's a major reason why I feel like we don't see grace reigning and people loving one another. It's not because they're not trying hard enough or they're not good people. It's they're not really receiving from God. So, you know, most probably think God doesn't really love them or that grace isn't the trump card. So we can look at some more verses here in Romans 5 that speak a little bit more about that. Okay, now this is in the Message version. It's the end part of 3 through 5. It says, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our hearts. Into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So, I mean, that's talking about God is just continually pouring out. So it's not that God's holding back from us, okay? And then Romans 5:1-2, again in the Message version, it says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, my emphasis, to do for us, okay, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our arms to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. So, I mean, you know, there's a teaching that one of the guys in my Bible school, the founder of the Bible school I went to, used to teach, and it's called a series on called You've Already Got It. And so the concept is, I mean, whether you realize it or not, you know, we all yearn and hope to be seen as being right with God. And the good news is that you are right with God, okay? He's already shown that and proven that that is his judgment in Jesus, okay? This is the good news. And then if you go and read 20 and 21, again, Romans 5, 20 and 21, now this is in the Message version. It says it in a little bit different way, and maybe this will help connect it a little bit better. But it says, all that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, world without end. So again, just talking about you know, what God has given us and how grace is reigning there, okay? And then one last verse that I thought I would throw in here. I don't have time to really go in a lot of depth into it, but if you want, you can always study it on your own. And this is John 15:12. It kind of speaks to, I guess, why there's a lot of confusion about just how things work in the kingdom, in my opinion. But anyways, John 15:12 in the New King James Version says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, just hearing that, you would probably think, okay, well, God is, you know, he's commanding us to love one another. But that's actually not what's going on here, okay? The word in the word "that" in the original language is hina. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's H-I-N-A. And it actually means "in order to" or "so that," all right? So the verse should read, "This is my commandment, so that you love one another," all right? And like I said, I don't have time in this segment to go into everything that's being talked about here in context, but anybody that knows about the Bible knows John 15 is talking about abiding in the vine, all right? So that whole context leading up to it, he's talking about abiding in him, okay? And so the commandment is to abide in him, and in doing so, you will love one another, okay? Love will naturally flow out of you as you abide and receive from God, amen? All right, so that's, again, easy love. It's not hard where you feel like it's a commandment. It's just receiving from God and just letting it flow from there. Amen. So, glory to God. I think that's about all I have time for today. But I'd just like to end by saying a prayer for anybody who might be listening. I know this is hard for a lot of people to accept as true or continue in, even if they know it's true. So, Father, I just thank you for the truths that you've revealed to me and expressed through me today. I pray that each person listening would get continued revelation of your love and goodness, that they would be able to see themselves, others, and you as you see them and as you believe about them. I thank you that you are working in their lives through the Holy Spirit and that they can have hope and a confident expectation of what you think about them. Amen. All right, so thanks again for tuning in, guys. If you'd like to learn more about these topics and more, you can visit my website, which has my blog on it, and that's called GodNeedsNewPR.com. You can search my blog for these topics and any other topic you might be interested in. Also, you can download or purchase a copy of my book called 18 Mile, and that talks about the transformative work God has done in my life. All right, guys, well, thanks again. Have a great week. God bless.
Our next segment of the night is Who Said That? This is where I feature message clips from my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors. These clips are also another reflection of what I believe. Tonight's clips come from one of my inspirations, mentors, and favorite speaker, Bertie Britz. I titled this clip, How God Sees Your Struggles.
I would like to encourage those people that are going through a very difficult time and you find certain things in your life that condemns you, things that you struggled with for many years, and it feels like an enemy, and it is as if it's getting victory in your life, as if you're never getting rid of it. You might walk in bitterness towards somebody, unforgiveness towards somebody, and struggling with certain things in your life, and now that thing is actually becoming a wall between you and God. As if you don't have confidence anymore, as if you feel, God, you know, I should have been over this by now, but I am not. I would like to encourage you and just bring you a word that can help you to continue to walk with God and to see what God sees about that, and also to have a confident expectation of victory in that area of your life. The first thing that I want to say to you is, the moment you do something wrong and you do it many times, it will definitely have a strong voice in your life. That is normal. It is the way we as humans are put together. We look at certain facts and we look at certain things in our lives and then we come to conclusions. It's as if the human mind and the heart comes to a bottom line conclusion just based on what is happening around us. And since it's something that is in our life and something that we see all the time, it's got such a strong voice to us, especially if it is something that involves other people. In other words, you sit with unforgiveness, or you've gone through a divorce, or you've gone through something very difficult, and you are faced with what has happened in the past all the time, and now it shapes and forms your life. And you just continue to lose your temper, continue to hate, continue to have bitterness, and so forth. And we can put any example in there. We can use any form of substance abuse. We can use anything in there that is a pattern in your life. And that will have, I mean, that system which continues and that is just coming on for years will have a strong voice in your life. And you will feel that this is stronger than me. Now, I want to just bring God's perspective about this. As we do something or sin, if you want to call it like that, or let's use other word because, you know, the word sin many times is not understood correctly, and there's a lot of debate about the word sin. But as we walk in the flesh and we see it continually, our hearts will see ourselves united with that thing and as part of us. But that's not how God sees it. The way God sees you, He sees that you are united with Him in Christ. He doesn't see you united with sin. He sees you as one with Him. And since you are one with Him, and this thing is in your life, it is a common enemy. It's your enemy as well as the enemy of God. And the Scripture says clearly in 1 Corinthians 15 that there are enemies of God. And the last enemy to be conquered is physical death. Now, anything that would lead unto death, He would also conquer, which is the fruit of the flesh. He would conquer that, and He brings victory over that. Why? Since He has taken away the keys of the grave. He has conquered sin and conquered death, and the sin and death that He's conquered is our sin and death. And now He is busy implementing that victory that He gained in His resurrection, and He's implementing it in the earth. And He, by the Holy Spirit, is establishing His kingdom in this earth, and He is getting all these enemies out of the earth, of which this habitual thing that you're busy with is one of them. Now, it might be, I mean, there can be many reasons why this is a habit in your life and why this is something that continually occurs in your life and why it's part of your life. And the reason why it happens is not always the thing you even need to know. One thing you need to know is the solution. The solution would simply be to see what God sees. And what the Holy Spirit would be doing is He would continually remind you of what you have freely received in Christ. Like this message, for instance. This message, for many people, would be a voice of the Holy Spirit in your life where He reminds you that you are not one with your sin, but that you are one with God. And in hearing that word, as you hear it and it settles in your heart, you find that from that truth, freedom comes. To many people that hear this, it would be the end of the cycle of the fruit of the flesh in your life, because this might just have been the thing that you need to hear today in order to be completely free. To other people, they will have to hear this and something else and something else, and then as this comes together in your heart, you will see the victory that God has promised in your life. So I want to say this to you, and I want to conclude in this way. Never see yourself as one with sin and death. You are one with God. God sees you as one with Him, and He sees sin and death as something that wants to harm you. So you're not standing on sin's side with sin in your life, united with sin, and now you're looking at God. You're standing on God's side, and something is trying to attack you. And God, by the Holy Spirit, through persuading your heart and the work of the resurrection, through Christ ruling in the earth, makes an end to that. What you can have is a constant expectation. Just go again and say and pray to God. Make this known to God. Declare to God how this is not what you want and that you are available for Him to manifest a changed life in you. Maybe you sit there and you've gone through a very difficult time. And you don't know how to end this hatred or this bitterness or whatever it could be. As you can see, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and showing you a new life. He's not saying to you that you must do that new life. He says, know this, that when Christ died, He died our death and He died away the old man with its fruit. And as we walk in the revelation of that, the Holy Spirit manifests the new. Just be reminded of that again. what I do when something goes wrong in my life, when I get frustrated or irritated or whatever it is, I simply go and I say, Lord, victory over this is what you have promised me, and I want to just say, I'm fully available for that, and you can bring it forth. I see myself as one with you. I don't see myself as one with this thing that has happened, or this hurt, or this pain, or whatever it can be. I just see myself as one with you. And from there, Lord, you by the Holy Spirit can manifest and bring this forth. And I have seen victory upon victory in my life of things that is not one with me, that is a lie that the things of this world wants to bring on us. We need to remember that if we have something that is habitual in our life, that it is, it will have a strong voice. Know that. It will have a strong voice. Why? Because you see it every day. The fact that it comes again and again and again is a voice, and it will be a strong voice, and it will be a very negative thing that comes your way. So you can know this, that the Bible does not say there is no emotion of guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, there is. You will feel that what I would call the spiritual nerve system say, that's not right. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not God's quality of life. You will feel that. And then you will feel the cognitive mind wanting to jump to conclusions. That is normal. But you will also feel the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart saying, you are one with me. And I want you to know that death and sin is the enemy of God. You are not the enemy of God. God doesn't see you as one with sin and death. He sees you as one with Him. And know that He is establishing His kingdom in the earth through the Holy Spirit. So again, you can stand up and you can look at the situation that you are in. See yourself separate from what is happening, one with God. Envision that, see that, and allow the Holy Spirit to just bring that truth to continue to revolve in your mind. And as that happens, you will find the Holy Spirit bringing forth what needs to manifest in your life by the power of the resurrection. God bless you.
Our next segment of the night is called Mythbusters. This is where we begin to explore and break down long-held beliefs that I believe actually make it hard for us to experience the love of God that was given as a free gift when He created us and through Jesus. Not only can believing lies about God affect our relationship and belief in Him, believing lies can affect how we feel about ourselves and others. We were created to live in freedom, love, grace, hope, courage, boldness, confidence, determination, compassion, clarity, and peace. Myths and lies mess with the flow of our original design. Disclaimer, and this applies to every single episode of Spirit and Soul. I am not trying to convince anybody of anything. I am simply enjoying my life with God and sharing all that I receive with others. And if this is not for you, that's okay. I won't be offended. I will continue to be myself and encourage you anyway. I accept you and love you as you are. On this Mythbusters, I want to share this clip by my favorite speaker, one of my dear friends, inspirations, and mentors, Greg Henry. I listen to his messages over and over, and they have brought great healing, hope, and encouragement to my life and being. I want to share this clip from Greg that I titled, God is on your side.
We'll find out that God never tests us. We'll find out that God never has tested people. We'll find out that God doesn't bring hard times to people to teach people things, that God doesn't allow hard times in people's lives in order to teach them things. We'll find out all those things are false. Glory to God. And so what does it mean when we experience hard times? I don't think there's any human being that hasn't found themselves when they're experiencing hard times sitting around wondering, why am I going through this? Anyone? See, we tend to find that thought immediately going on inside of us. What's happening here? And so when we experience hard times, we can kind of become like Job. You know, you notice Job experienced some hard times, and then he went on for like 35 chapters reasoning with a bunch of people about why this was happening to him. And at the end of all of his reasoning, you know what conclusion he came to? All of his reasoning was done. All the conclusions he came to about why this was happening to him, one of which was the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Notice Job said that, God didn't say it. All the things Job thought about how God was allowing this to happen to him and how God was doing this to him, he didn't know why, but that's what was happening. If you get to Job chapter 42, you find God show up and ask Job, who told you that? Who told you all those things you've been busy with for 40 chapters saying about me and why this was happening to you? Were you there when I made the universe? Were you there when I fashioned everything? And God's basically asking, where did you get this information from about me, buddy? And then Job is confronted with a very real thing. And Job repents for everything he said in the previous 40-something chapters. He repents and he says, man, I never knew you, Lord. I only heard of you. And I think that can happen to a lot of us when we experience hard times, is that we have only heard things about God and we haven't really known the heart of God. We've only heard things about God. And so what happens is when we experience hard times, we tend to try to make sense out of our hard times through our own reasoning. Do you see what I'm saying? Through our own logic. We want to make sense out of it. It's like we have this weird kind of thought that if we can make sense out of it, then we can solve the problem, right? If we can make sense out of the problem, then we can solve it, right? And then we almost feel like if we can make sense out of the problem, then we'll have peace. So when we experience hard times in this world, and listen, guys, Jesus said, you will find tribulation in the world. So you will find tribulation in the world at times. You will experience hard times. And so what happens is when we experience hard times, we want to make sense out of it. And when we want to make sense out of it, we tend to start using our own reasoning to make sense out of it. And then we'll start saying things to ourselves like, God is testing our faith. We'll start saying things like, God is bringing these hard times into our lives in order to teach us something. That God is sending this tribulation into our life in order to purge some sin from our life. Or God is allowing these hard times into our lives in order to teach us patience, you know? And all the time, what we're doing is we're reasoning with our own carnal thinking. We're not reasoning with the mind of Christ. And we're coming to all these conclusions about God and who God is and what his nature is like and the way that he will deal with us that isn't born from the mind of Christ, but it's born from the mind of Adam. Okay? So if that's how we think about God and the way that he is with us, it'll be really hard to find ourselves going to rest in his bosom as our Father. If that's what we think about God, that God sends hard times to test our faith, that he sends hard times to teach us things, that he allows hard times into our life to purify us. If that's what we think about God and how he is with us, it's going to be very hard for us to find ourselves going to rest in God as our Father. It'll be a stumbling block to us being able to trust in his integrity towards us. It'll be a stumbling block to us being able to trust in the integrity of his goodness and his intentions towards us. It can act as a hindrance to us being able to trust him with our lives. You see what I'm saying? If that's what we think about God and the way that he is with us, guys, it will actually serve to destroy the father-child relationship we were created for with God from the beginning. I mean, if I thought my dad was testing me all the time, or that my dad was all the time sending me hard times in order to teach me things, or that he could stop pain and suffering from coming into my life, but he decides, you know, sovereignly as my dad, well, you know, I could stop the pain and suffering, but I'm not going to stop the pain and suffering, so I'm going to let the pain and suffering come, and I'll use the pain and suffering to teach him things. If that's what I think about God, or if that's what I think about my own dad, that he's all the time testing me, I'm never going to be able to go to rest in his goodness towards me. I'm never going to be able to trust him with my life. I'm never going to actually feel safe in his presence. I'm all the time going to be walking around wondering, is that guy testing me now? Is this a test? I'll be looking for the parameters of the test so I can try to pass the test. I'll never just be enjoying my dad and who he is and what's inside of him and what he enjoys. I'll never be enjoying his life, but I'll all the time be on my tippy toes looking for a test, wondering where the test is. How can I pass the test? What way can I pass the test? And then what happens is you end up in your relationship with God where you're always watching your back. Listen, when I was in high school, you know, when you went out with your friends and you visited rival schools or whatever, you always had to watch your back in case somebody was now just going to, you know, hit you from behind and, you know, you're going to fall over. Listen, that's not how it's supposed to be with God, where you got to watch your back thinking any second now that guy's going to shoot me in the back or something just to teach me something as I lay in a hospital bed suffering. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. No one wants to experience pain and suffering in their life. Can we at least agree on that? Now, through the revelation of God and His Spirit dwelling in you, you can find yourself rejoicing in pain and suffering.
Our next segment of the night is Words of Life. This is where I speak words of affirmation over you, your dreams, your loved ones, and your life. We will be featuring this segment with new words of affirmation every single episode because with all the cynicism and pessimism that tries to drown us, we can afford to hear the truth as often as possible. I believe in the power of words because I have seen negativity, criticism, and discouragement tear people down. I have seen encouragement lift people's spirits and alter the very course of their destinies. What we hear and listen to are what will be birthed in our hearts, and it will definitely affect what we believe, think, and feel. Play this as many times as you need to and allow yourself to just soak in not only this segment, but the entire episode. You are the best investment you will ever make. My dreams are valid. I don't need other people's validation because God already validated me when He created me and through Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how many people tell me no on the journey to my dream. God has already said yes, so yes it is. He will bring all the right people, resources, and open all the right doors in order to bring this dream to pass in my life. God is the giver of dreams and all good things. I am God's dream come true. He will always make a way for me and provide for me. I don't have to worry about today, tomorrow, or the past because God is working out all things in my favor. He is restoring my life and all that I lost. He is healing my heart and awakening my being to His love for me. God is helping me to dream and trust again. God is helping me to heal, love, and believe again. I am a visionary. I am a leader. I lead by example and by the way that I love. The only time I follow the crowd is if they're going in the right direction. Otherwise, I am perfectly content with starting a new lane. Every day I wake up in expectation and anticipation that I'm headed in the right direction. I am exactly where and who I need to be. I have all I need within me and around me to move forward each day. God is with me, in me, for me, and has already gone before me, taking care of every day of my life. I can relax, rest, and breathe easy. Anxiety is leaving my mind, body, and soul, and is being replaced by peace, love, and grace. My systems are functioning healthily as they should, and my body is awakening to the goodness of God. Insomnia is leaving me, and my mind and body are getting healthy, adequate rest every night. I sleep in peace and feel God's comfort in my rest and dreams. Fear is dissolving from my being, and I am being fused with courage, confidence, and boldness. It is impossible for me to be rejected because God has always accepted me. When people tell me no or dismiss me, I don't take it personally because my trust and hope are in God. I am secure and confident in my heaven-made identity. I walk in peace. I walk in my truth. I don't wait for people to jump on board and support me. I start now and learn as I go. God and I will figure it out together as we go along. I don't wait for people to give me opportunities. Instead, I create opportunities and help others to do the same. I am innovative and creative. I am a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I am an overcomer. I am a thriver. Every day is my day. My life is significant. I matter to God. I don't allow the world to define my success. I allow God to define my success. And He says that I am a champion. He fights all of my battles for me, and I rest in this eternal victory.
I am seated in heavenly places, and I carry the presence of God with me every moment of every day.
Now I want to take some time to pray for you and your family. I'll be doing this every week. I believe in the power of prayer. God hears even the prayers and things we don't say. I want to stand with you and your loved ones for every need and care in your heart. If it matters to you, then it matters to me, and it matters to God. He is constantly at work, bringing everything together, healing you and restoring your life so that you will transcend every and any kind of struggle you could ever face in this world. All right, so I am pulling up you guys' prayer requests that you have sent in to me via Facebook and the ones you sent to me via Messenger and also through the comments on my post from earlier. And as always, to anyone who's listening into the show, if you have a prayer request, you are more than welcome to be able to call into the show at 323-693-3043 and press 1, and then I can see you in the studio, and we can be able to chat live on air. If you don't want to chat with me, but you want encouragement or prayer, and you want it to be anonymous, just send me a message on any of my social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or you can email me, and I'll make sure I get that in. And I'm not only praying for you guys during the live show right now. I pray for you also after the show is done and throughout the week. All right, so let's pull up the different ones, and we're going to get it going. All right, so first we have Chrissy Young. She says, can you please pray for favor for me? I'm going through a few things right now. All right, well, Father God, I thank you that first off, we always have your favor, that we are always walking in your favor because of how you created us and through Jesus Christ. And I just speak into Chrissy's situations right now, whatever she's going through, that you are literally just moving mountains for her and that you are giving her a fresh start. Thank you that you're giving her a fresh start in her life and you're moving mountains, and that whatever it is that's been bothering her and troubling her, that you are just smoothing over the situations, just giving her peace, and that you are bringing her victory in these matters, in Jesus' name. All right, this one is anonymous. Says, hey, my beautiful friend, I hope all is well. Reaching out to you for a couple of prayer requests. Number one, I was in a car accident on Friday. Please pray for complete healing and restoration for my body. Also, number two, I started a new job last July on the base, and I am at the tail end of all the background stuff. Please pray that my security clearance goes through favorably and smoothly. Thank you so much. All right, well, Father God, I thank you that you are the God of healing, and I just speak life to my friend's body, especially I speak life to your neck, and if there's been any whiplash, any discomfort in your body from the accident, I thank you even right now, Jesus, that you are strengthening this person's back, that you are strengthening their neck, that you, any effects that they've had from the accident, that you are just dissolving them from their body. I also thank you that you are providing any expenses that are needed, insurance-wise, brand new vehicle, whatever is needed, repairs to their car, that you are working that out for them even right now. And also for their new job. I thank you that you're taking care of all the background information, all the background stuff, and that her clearance, security clearance goes through favorably and smoothly. I thank you so much. You're just opening all the right doors for them, and you're taking care of every single need that's in their heart and bringing them your joy in Jesus' name. All right, so next is Seth L. Anestia. Says, pray for my buddy Mark. He's having some bad health issues. Love you, Sade. Hope you are doing well. Well, thank you so much, Seth. I love you too, my dear friend. And I'm lifting up your friend Mark right now. I thank you, Jesus, that whatever it is that's bothering Mark, I feel like it might be his lungs and in his chest, heart area. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of healing. I speak life to Mark's body even right now, that you are restoring his lungs, that you are restoring his chest, that you are restoring all the systems in his whatever health issues that he's been having. Thank you that you're giving wisdom to the doctors, you're giving wisdom to Mark, that whatever his medicine is needed, if there needs to be any type of change to his life, whatever it may be, thank you that you're giving wisdom and discernment and that that's taken into play even right now. I also speak to Mark's mind, to Mark's soul, and just peace in his heart, and just knowing that regardless of what he's going through, that you are for him and with him, and that you are going to help him not only get through this, but to thrive through this and still be able to experience your love no matter what he's facing, and know that he is so loved by you and adored by you, and the health issues can never speak a word about who he is. They can never define and determine who he is, but you define and determine who we are. All right, next is for Chanasa Charity. She said, thanks for the program. Sis, please pray for me that God should grant me his mercy in my ways, and I should provide for my needs and to the sick and to the poor and provide for their needs. All right. Father God, I thank you once again that you have so much mercy on us. That is everlasting. We don't even have to pray and ask you for mercy because we already have all your mercy and favor. And if that's where people are right now, that's okay. But I just want to continue to encourage all of us and remind us that we have all your mercy and all your favor, all your backing for us in every situation. You only want the best for us. Like I was saying in Jeremiah 29:11, you always want the best for us. And I just thank you for Chanasa even right now, that you are taking care of all of her needs financially, whatever she needs and whatever she desires to do to be able to help the poor and sick in her community where she is around the world. I thank you that you are bringing in the right resources for her and to her community. Thank you that you are bringing in the right people, that you are supernaturally opening doors for them and healing the people inside and out. And I thank you that you're just continuing to renew Chanasa's mind and letting her know that she's so loved and adored by you, that she is your princess, and you will always make a way for her. Chanasa, God wants you to know that you are his princess, that he adores you and will always take care of you. All right, this next one is anonymous. Says, hi, Sade, I have a prayer request. I'm facing a situation where I'm going to have to make crucial decisions soon, but at the same time, I'm being inundated with a lot of distractions that I don't need to cloud my judgment or decision-making. Thank you so much for your prayers and for being such a blessing to us. Well, thank you so much for sending in your prayer request. So I want to first encourage you that everything is going to be okay. I just feel that already on my heart to share with you that everything is going to be more than okay. I know this is a big decision to make. I don't know what exactly the decision is, but I want you to know that in all things, God has already gone before you, that God has already gone before you. God is with you. God is for you. God is behind you. So even if you may feel that the decision, if this is a life or death or a huge decision in your life that can determine or alter the direction where you're headed, know that God can still bring about the same result even if you don't choose what you believe you are to choose. It's going to be more than okay, and God has so many miraculous ways that he's able to bring about things for us. So I just want to encourage you in that to, you know, use the wisdom and discernment that you have, but to know even at the end of the day that God is for you and he can always work things out even if it doesn't seem like this was a decision to make or if you wonder about this or that. And I also thank God that he is bringing clarity to your being, that he's bringing peace and rest to you, and that you don't feel distracted or pulled in any direction, but that you are always centered and strengthened in your core. I see you like standing tall and strong, that you are so centered, that you are strong, and that you are hopeful and full of grace, and that God is leading you to victory, through victory, from victory, in Jesus' name. All right, this one is from Gonisha Goliath. She says, always, my prayer is to always see people through the eyes of Papa. Now, no matter what, no matter how things may be, to just awaken to his unconditional love for me and knowing at all times he is present. Yeah, thank you, Father God. I thank you so much that just as Gwenisha has been praying and desiring that she will see what you see, that she will see herself, you and others in situations the way that you see them and the way that you see us. I thank you so much that you're just continuing to open her eyes. I see, Gwenisha, that God is literally like, we have the story of where Jesus, you know, wiped the clay mud out of a man's eyes who was blind and he was able to see. Not that you've been living in blindness, but I see that God is just continuing to open your eyes to see. He's continuing to, you've already been seeing, but God is just going to continue to help you to see so that it's brighter and brighter and you're shining brighter and brighter and it's just more and more clarity around you, that you're literally going to be experiencing God's love and presence everywhere you go. And that's what God has always designed for us. It's not supposed to be something we just experience on Sundays or just sometimes or just with certain people, but it's something that we can live in eternally and all the time. And so I thank Father God right now for even showing you that, that you can experience and walk in God's love all the time and every single day. All right. Also, we have our final one is from Lisa Harrison. She says, for our financial situation. I think this prayer request is definitely for a lot of people. Pray for you and your family, Lisa, but also for everyone who's listening. Father God, I thank you that you are not limited. You are not broke. You have not run out of resources. You are the God of more than enough. Because of grace, there's always more than enough. Because of Jesus, there's always more than enough. And I just speak right now into Lisa and her family's finances, even into everyone who's listening, all of our finances. And I thank you that you are opening the right doors for us. Thank you that you are bringing in tremendous resources, more than enough, that you do like with the five loaves, with the bread and the fish and the story, Jesus, where you literally just multiplied everything that we needed, and you just, we had more than enough, and it was left over for not only for ourselves, but obviously to share with others. I thank you that that's what you're doing in our life. You're multiplying our resources. You're multiplying our funds, that we will be able to have more than enough. And thank you that we can be able to see money the way that you see money, and knowing that you will provide for us and you care for us because you love us and because you desire us and because you know that's one of the things we need in this world. So therefore, it's something that you will take care of, and you will always provide for us and make a way. I'm going to look on my social media just to make sure I haven't been sent any more prayer requests from everyone. It looks like we got everyone. So I just want to encourage every single person who's been listening and to know that God is for you, that God is with you. As we've been talking about tonight, one of the most important things to know is that God is on your side, that God is not your enemy. God is not someone you have to watch your back with, but God is someone you can be your total 100% self with, and God is on your team. God is your number one player, and you are God's number one player. So whatever it is that you're facing today, no matter what the situation is, God is with you in this. God is for you in this, and God is working it out in you and through you, in Jesus' name. Another segment we'll be featuring every episode is called Celebration Break. This is where I am sharing testimonies from my life and stories and ones that you share with me. I think it's important to celebrate every victory along the way, even the little ones. So I want to talk to you guys about this past weekend. As you heard in the beginning of the show, I was performing in Santa Monica and Newberry Park on Saturday, so it was a full day. The first event I did in Santa Monica was the Out of the Dark Prevention Walk, and that was on the Santa Monica Pier, and that was an amazing time to be able to be with almost 1,500 people and being able to sing and start them, you know, kick off the event, which is such a heavy event. But also, I felt so much joy because all the people that were there were all people who are survivors, meaning even if they weren't someone who had struggled with suicide attempts themselves, they knew someone or they had been affected by this, but we were still there and we made it. We were still alive. And so I got the opportunity to be able to sing and share words of encouragement and share my story, and it was powerful. So many people were touched. I got to give so many hugs and even speak with a group of ladies who were all suicide attempt survivors, and to just be able to encourage them and let them know how much they're loved and how much their life matters. And that was powerful for me because it's like, that's why I do what I do. You know, this is huge to me, and I'm passionate about this, because the more we begin to talk about these things, the more we bring things out into the open, the less shame and fear and guilt that we're going to have, the more people that will come forward, and we'll be able to see more and more people healed and set free. And so it just was a phenomenal time. I'm continuously reminded of the power of God's grace and love and hope, and that there is life after depression. There is life after suicidal attempts, and there is life after hopelessness and anxiety and any other, you know, chain or sadness or hurt or pain or heartache that we could experience in this life. There is life after it. And also that evening, I was able to go to Newberry Park High School, and I had a performance in Thousand Oaks for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and that was phenomenal too, and I got to be able to share my story, and so many people were touched. And even when I sang Hallelujah, which as you guys know is a crowd pleaser, people were just like, man, it took them to a whole nother place and very ethereal. And it just was a phenomenal time. I got to encourage this precious young girl and spend some time with her and just to let her know how loved and valued she is. And she was almost in tears, and her mom was as well. And it's just like, man, once again, this is why I do what I do. This is why I am who I am. And so I'm so thankful for these moments. And I want to encourage you guys, if you have any good things that are happening in your life, any answered prayers, any testimonies, any praise reports, always feel free to share them with me. You can message me. You can tweet me. You can write a comment on my Facebook page. And we would love to share it with our listeners, because people always want to hear about the great news that's happening in your life.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 17 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, right here on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to my music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. The music from my radio drop is actually by one of my favorite artists in the entire world, India Ari, and I took the instrumental from her song, He Heals Me. Thank you to my castmates, Dave Seidel, Veronica Esquivel-Winters, and special guests, Bertie Britz and Greg Henry. Thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Our final song of the night is Godfrey Bertil with I'm Still Here. God has not left or abandoned you. Where else can God go? God sold all that he is and had in order to make his home in us. We are the place where God feels the most comfortable. You were tailor-made perfectly for the love, grace, life, and beauty of God. Where is God? God is wherever you are. There is not a place in the universe where his or her love will not permeate. Next week is our Healing for Your Digestive System episode. We'll be talking about the importance of digestive health and how God's love and what we think God feels about us is connected to our physical health and well-being. I'll be sharing a lot of testimonials. Veronica Esquivel-Winters and I will be bringing a new woman-to-woman segment, and we'll be answering your questions. I'll be sharing more words of life, taking your prayer requests, and another celebration break. Plus, we'll be giving away more prizes and gifts. Thanks for listening to the Season 2, Episode 17 of my new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and I'll see you next Monday, October 30th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Grindhard Radio.
When the outpouring gets pouring, I'm still here. When your revival dries up, I'm still here. And when Sunday turns to Monday, I remain the same. Yesterday and today and forever. When the big tent of empty is spent, I'm still here. And when the conference is just nonsense, I'm still here. When the academy just wants your money, I say the price is paid. Yesterday and today and forever. I'm still here when they say
I'm still here when they say I'm not. I'm with you.